I was a student in the 60s. That was another England. I have written a play called, which actually Tara Arts was interested in, called What Snow? Driven Snow. A play called Driven Snow about my days in Oxford. But those were the days when, you know, mostly I used to pursue blacks and bash them up with chains. I mean, you know, that kind of Oxford. This is the national...
Some things haven't changed.
Hmm?
Some things haven't changed.
It's about that. And he was very much interested, dear Jatinder, in doing that.
When would that have been? The same time in the... When you
we
were
read
in
it.
Room.
We read. He got actors, and we read the play, and we got it all. Sort of did a workshop on it for a fine day. But then he never said anything to me thereafter. So I left.
A shame.
So, you know.
Did you meet?
I can give you a copy of that play if you want to.
No,
if
you're interested. Great.
Because this was a play I wrote about England, and I gave it to Royal Court, and the Royal Court made one point which I thought was very valid. He said the language isn't contemporary, which I accept. Because you know, my English is...
Yeah,
my English
but your English in 1960 would be different from your English now, anyway.
Yeah, I know, but it is whatever it is. They said it's not contemporary, it doesn't feel contemporary. Since I write in Kannada also, I know what it is to be in touch with spoken language.
Yeah.
I knew what they were saying, so I said, yes, fair enough.
That's another thing with your translations, is the language almost bears on the vernacular from time to time. It's that contemporary. And again, you don't tend to get that in British Asian theatre.
You see, now my English is different because 3 years in England has suddenly changed my England. You know, the English, I've seen plays now. What translations you read were done before.
Yeah.
You know, so 3 years in England, seeing plays, talking to people, immersing oneself in England, changed my English.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, then I used to write... Then my articles were published in The Guardian, you know, things like that. So it gave it a different flavor. But even the translations you read are slightly dated because they were pre-London.
There's been a flow of people like yourself, and I'm thinking also Ibrahim Al-Khalsi, Habib Tanvir, lots of very well-known theatre practitioners here who have been through British institutions one way or the other.
Yes. So Al-Khalsi was Rada.
Yeah.
In fact, his whole style was conditioned by that.
But Habib Tanvir as well wasn't he? Or was he working?
Was he? No, he was in Germany, I think.
He went to Germany after the UK.
Oh, I see. Yes.
He was in the UK first. I think he has this lovely line. He went to Rada for 3 years and spent the rest of his life trying to unlearn what they taught him there. Because like when he was there, then he went to sort of Paris, Berlin, discovered Brecht,
came back this
way. And also I saw in Calcutta, Padar Sarkar went across, and I was interested how his workshops work there.
Yeah.
You know, with the type of people he was working with and the way, you know, the differences here. So that was very interesting.
Al-Khalsi really carried on the tradition of Rada. Al-Khalsi turned National School of Drama into, you know, this whole teaching method is
I'm very interested in this relationship of people who have trained or worked in the UK and come back and have pushed this national institution in Delhi.
The person who shaped it completely was Al-Khalsi.
Yeah.
He set the teaching method. The person who came after him was B.V. Karan, who brought in music and so on, because Al-Khalsi was not comfortable with Indian music. He was not comfortable with it. But I must say, he did an enormous job. He set the, set the tone. But his whole style, the way people enunciated, you know, if music be the food of love, play on, you know, that kind of
delivery,
you know, that kind of enunciation, you know, kind of a fake Rada accent.
And there was no inclusion of Indian theatre traditions at that time.
He didn't, no. I mean, he did his best, but the point is, ultimately, he was happy with the Rada tradition.
That's why he was.
He did his best, but what he didn't do theatre traditions, but he brought in a lot of Indian playwrights.
Uh-huh.
You see, Mai Tughlaq was done there.
Yeah. Okay. Early on as well.
First, they discovered me. I mean, you know, I was discovered as a national thing by the National School of Drama. They did Andhayog by Dharmavir Bharati. So, Indian theatre, talking of Indian theatre, became Indian theatre thanks to the National School of Drama.
Uh-huh.
Because they took plays from various languages, did them, and then through Hindi they went into other languages.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So They did Vijay Tendulkar, they did me, yeah. You know, my generation. Mohan Rakesh was discovered as a playwright by them. You know, Rakesh used to tell me that the National School of Drama gave me my vocation.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they did his Ashad Ka Ek Din, the day in Ashad, yeah. And he was made. And for several years after that, all Hindi short story writers were writing plays because it became fashionable to write plays.
When was it fashionable? When is that?
60s. 60s.
Mid-60s. Yeah.
You know, he when did Al-Qazi take over? Al-Qazi took over, I think, in...
It was 6 years after it was founded, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah. For a couple of years, they didn't tell, but I remember he was there in 61, 62.
Yeah.
And then by mid-60s, he found his métier. And you know, he had done, and Tughlaq was done, the Andha Yug was done, you know, this made, he was marvellous at the spectacular productions.
So, I mean, in terms of the face of Indian, I mean, I'm interested in the terms of face of constituting an Indian identity in theatre here, which is recognised north, south, east and west, that comes with this rigour of British training for an institution.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And he passed on, you see, even before he took on the National School of Drama, Al-Qazi was running a theatre school in Bombay.
Mm.
Okay, it was at the Bhulabhai, it was called Theatre Unit, and it was at the Bhulabhai Institute.
The Bhulabhai, can you...
Bhulabhai, B-H-U-L-A-B-H-A-I, Bhulabhai Institute. There was a whole space given to him.
Uh-huh.
And he was part of the theatre group.
Yes, actually, I do
know that. Theatre group was something that was actually founded by a brilliant young man called Akbar, not Akbar Padamsi, what is it called? Alex Younger Brother.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Who died very young, who died by the age of 25, but he'd already made his mark. Sam Padamsi. I keep forgetting. And they sent, and Al-Qazi went to England. Al-Qazi's wife is a Padamsi. Akbar,
yes,
Alex,
yes.
Alex's sister is his wife.
Yeah.
Not his girlfriend, I mean the wife.
Yes, yeah.
So, Al-Qazi went, then he, when he came back, he wanted to be the sole director of a theatre group. Okay. But then Alec Padamsi also had trained. Alec Padamsi had also trained at Rada. And he also wanted to direct. So Al-Qazi split off and he formed Theatre Unit, which was his own group.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And there he trained, really, the great person, Satyadev Dubey.
He went on to direct as well, didn't he?
Who?
Dubey.
He was only a director. He was never
what I thought, because I only know him as a director.
I mean, he writes plays and he acts, but that's much, that's well forgotten.
Uh-huh.
But his great contribution is he did all these plays in Hindi and did marvelous production. He did my first play, Yayati, and, you know, so.
What about the relationship between the Prithvi Theatre and what was happening with the theatre unit, the Prithvi Theatre? Because that was going in Mumbai from the 60s, no?
Prithvi Theatre, not the present Prithvi Theatre.
No, grandfather's.
The grandfather ran a Prithvi Theatre, which was really a commercial theatre.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't as bad as the Parsi theatre tradition.
Right. Okay.
This is Prithvi Raj doing plays. He had some good actors. His own sons were there. Shashi Kapoor was there. Raj Kapoor was there. But it was essentially rather sentimental romantic theatre. It was very successful.
So this idea of theatre for the people, as it were,
that's
more of an
He did plays called Diwar, which was about, Diwar means a wall.
Mm.
And it was all about division of a house, which talked about India's division. Then, and so on. Then he did a thing about Paisa, which is about how money was corrupting modern India. You know? But they were very broadly played, grand, plays, you know, I would not remember them for any piece of exquisite performance.
So at that time in the 60s, you've got the NSD, and you were some
later,
minister
later. Yeah,
huh? coming?
I saw Prithvi Theatre. I saw Prithvi Raj Kapoor's Prithvi Theatre. I was in Bombay from 58 to 60. I did statistics and hated it, and which meant that I spent all my time in the 2 years again watching theatre, hobnobbing with theatre people. And I saw Marathi theatre because I speak Marathi very well. So I saw Marathi theatre, Hindi theatre, Prithvi theatre, theatre unit, everything. Mm.
Marathi theatre, as I understand it, is very much writer-driven.
No.
But it wasn't then.
No, in between it almost died out.
Yeah.
You know, because theatre... But now suddenly it seems to have blossomed out.
Yeah.
It's that's amazing. I mean, no other... even Kannada here doesn't have that kind of vitality.
It was interesting speaking to Sasha Shalakar about the way that they're working that department he heads at the university in terms of bringing different types of... Yes. People in, but he said one of the main reasons why it's working is off the back of the reforms from earlier days, so that in many cases he's got the first generation of literate sons and daughters who can now come.
It is also because of Satish's vision.
Yeah.
You know, the
but
point
he,
is.
But he's very much a writer rather than a performer. And
no, but he's a very good administrator.
Yeah. Oh, it seems fantastically.
You
know,
yeah.
I've never seen
he
such
has brought a,
lucid,
vision to it.
A lucid, articulate 2 hour history lesson.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Completely, he's brought it. For instance, when I was the Indian co-director of the Indo-US sub-commission, and they wanted to send someone to Connecticut for there's something called O'Neill Theatre workshop, 15 days it runs. I immediately said, Satish Shalakar, that's it, he must go. And he enjoyed it. I went there and after 3 days I got bored and I went away. Yeah. But Satish was just right.
It was his thing.
He is brought to his teaching a vision which is quite extraordinary, which makes his institute in Pune quite unique.
Yeah. Also, he brings in money to help pay for some of these students, to subsidize
yes.
the
he's
so
done
I imagine that breadth of students must be interesting, rather than you know what happens in some places without students.
He's being a playwright, he's being a performer, bad performer, but a performer, has helped. My best experiences workshop-wise have been when I did for the Tyron Guthrie, that was the man I was thinking of. Tyron Guthrie, after whom the Guthrie Theatre in Minneapolis is named. He was invited and he was asked to choose from 6 different cities, of which he chose Minneapolis. There they did my play called Nagamandala. A very successful production, using an Indian actress.
Successful in which way?
Beautifully. Very imaginative, lovely. Now, something like that.
Did you have any input in that, or was that done totally separately?
I was there during the rehearsals, I rewrote lines and so on. Like they took me there for 3 weeks while they were rehearsing.
Uh-huh.
It was very nice and just beautiful. You know, it was not. One thing I told him, just forget it, that it is an Indian play.
Yes.
Do it as a play that you want to do, although they got some Indian elements. Then so he said, what Western play would you, if you don't want me to think of India, what Western play do you want me to keep in mind? I said, Midsummer Night's Dream. And he said, that's it, done. So, you know, so he got that kind of magic. You know, have you read Nagamandala?
I haven't, yeah.
Well, I'll give you my collective play. It's about a snake that falls in love with a woman.
I've seen, you know, I bought it, I've sent it home. That's what it is, because the single edition has a beautiful picture on the front, which is a little bit frightening.
So, so that they did, and they got an Indian actress from Paris, who was working with the Theatre du Soleil. No, that's what I mean. I mean,
so
they
that was
took an Indian play
direction.
And did a play which was done with American actors or this actor. It's just exquisite, you know.
I mean, the story is transposed. I mean, that must be.
Yeah, they put in Indian costumes, used an Indian actor, there was a Japanese hero and all that sort of thing, mainly. But the point is, it worked as theatre. That is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That I missed in. It was very enchanting to see my own play. I mean, it was very imaginatively done. I mean,
but it's nice if you're there as well for those 3 weeks when you can reflect on your own writing and see
definitely.
What can happen and have the ability to change it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
and
great.
Then they commissioned me to write a play, which I wrote, called The Fire and the Rain. then they had a workshop for doing it, and then Garland was the artistic director. Uh-huh. He had Garland Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Well,
but I mean, that's the kind of level that you didn't see at all in the UK.
Neither in writing nor in performance. Uh-huh. In theatre, I didn't know.
Did people outside Asian theatre approach you for any of your work whilst you were in the UK?
I had very heavy work. I mean, as running Nehru Centre was no joke. Because, you know, I used to have 3 to 4 evenings where when we had full houses, we had as many as 100 people. And then, you know, it was really like a front house manager in a restaurant. I mean, you know, after that you had, you gave wine parties and you met and you couldn't remember who you had cracked which joke. So I had to be careful not to repeat it next time. That kind of, I mean, it was very much a public relations office.
Yeah.
You know. Used to keep me busy, but I must say, I enjoy it.
It's a long stint. I mean, it's 3 years. You really get your head into a different psychology of being in a place. I mean, every 6 months that passes, it's quite a different stage. Well, I find, anyhow, you know.
But fortunately for me, it was like going through the university again. Yes. I saw British theatre, and London is buzzing with activity. There's
London's
so much.
I mean,
Chilean theatre, Peruvian theatre, Japanese theatre.
And you don't really have to look very hard for it. Yes, you know, it's all about it.
But it may do it. Suddenly, someone may break through.
I wondered, because I'm always interested in this link of what people call high arts and popular art. And when you have the Salman Rushdies and Vikram Seths coming through, now, of course, there's Monica Ali. There's an awful lot more, but these are these big names people know. Once they become popular and accepted, whether people will then go and see an Indian play in a way that they wouldn't have read Indian world, you know, before.
What they do, what people like Salman Rushdie and Vikram Seth have done, is open the door for actors of lower caliber, writers of lower caliber. You see, there are a lot of Indians writing in English, not of the same caliber, a lot of pornography, a lot of, but at least they get accepted, you know, they open the doors, the market, they're sold in bookshops, they get, all that.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I mean, I'm saying that, no, they may not get I don't think they would get the audiences into theatre. And Midnight Children, directed by Tim Supple.
Did you see it?
Oh God, yes.
Mom, what did you
think? It was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh, good. At least
I met Tim Supple here. I told him, I said, this is, he said, yes, things went wrong. So I said, did Salman interfere? He said, no, we were just too respectful. I said, it's just so bad.
Did you see his Midsummer Night's Dream when it was in...
No, I didn't see
Bombay.
No, yeah. Then I wasn't... you see, the problem with the... Right from the word go, the problem with that would have been that he wanted to rehearse continuously for 3 months, so 4 months here.
Mm.
Okay. Now, the best of our actors are not that free.
No, of course.
So you would normally get those who are unemployed or who, you know.
Mm.
So automatically, the concept of rehearsing for 3 months automatically would exclude the best of them.
Mm.
You see, so then you would get people, you know, who wanted a job or free.
Yeah.
So naturally, you would have to compromise then by saying, no, we won't have them speak in English, we'll have it in multi-language. So at each level then, compromises begin.
Oh yeah.
You know, and ultimately it was bound to be sort of oriental mishmash. I don't see what else it could be. I mean, it had to be, because there was no other, I've seen Tim Supple's work, you know, where he does, but sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's been disastrous when he did Virgil's... you know, based on what is it? The stories of Virgil about transformations.
Metamorphosis.
Yes.
So
I know his work. I've seen a lot. In London, I saw everyone's work. I'm an expert on those 3 years of London.
No, but that was great, isn't it? To get a feel like that for so many different styles.